101 Nashville, good morning. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson hanging out with you. It is Friday. We made it. Excited about that. Marquise, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It is Friday. This is my favorite time of the week. And you know why? Because tomorrow's Saturday. And I get to just kick back, relax, take my shoes off, put them on the table, and just, you know, sit in my drawers and play 2K all day. and that sounds like the good life right there.
That is the good life. You've been going on some hikes, though. I mean, it's a little hot.
But I have. Actually, this weekend, I will not be in town. I will be going to a lake house in Tuscaloosa. So I'll be going back to the home base of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and hanging out with the lady and her friends because it's one of her friends' birthday. So I'm getting drug along. You know, I'm just kidding.
You're going to your home turf, though.
Yeah, she's going on my home turf, she gets to, you know, meet the fam.
Did she meet Mama?
Yeah, she meet Mama, man. Mama's chill, man. My mom is like the most chillest person on planet Earth.
That's a big step, though, when the lady meets Mama.
Yeah.
That's a big step.
I met her mom like multiple times, but, you know, her mom loves me because
I'm
Marquise, man.
I think it's different for a guy because, you know, I mean, it's kind of like dads and daughters and then moms and sons, you know? So it's when you meet Mama, when the girl meets Mama, that's a big deal. That's a pretty big deal.
It is. But luckily, I don't have one of those moms that will, like, tell me, like, she's not right for you. My mom, she's like one of those, you're going to learn the hard way kind of thing. Like, yeah. Oh, okay, you guys want to live together. You guys want to do all this stuff. Okay, I ain't going to tell you nothing. You grown. You about to be 30. I can't tell you nothing.
Right.
So you're going to do what you want to do. So I have one of those moms. And my mom's chill. Like, she's easy to get along with, especially when she's had a few margaritas. Like, she's good. She's good to go. As long as I bring her a case of, like, strawberita, like, she'll be fine. She'll be, like, she'll be happy-go-lucky. So
hey, don't say that too loud. Porth will, like, want to come. He loves those strawberitas.
Yeah, what is sad that, you know, Porth drinks the same drinks as my, you know, 60-plus-year-old mother. So, I mean, that's kind of sad. But also not surprising. I was waiting for you to fill in that gap there, but also not surprising at all.
But anyway, we move on. College football. What's going to happen with college football? Obviously, there was some news yesterday surrounding college football. The Big Ten Conference, with fall sports, they're going to go to a conference-only schedule. So that obviously affects college football when it comes to the Big Ten. The athletic directors and presidents on Thursday decided to move all fall sports to a conference-only model. This is just the beginning, because now that they've done it, you're going to have other conferences that are probably going to follow suit. Maybe not right away, but it's going to happen at some point. I know the ACC is looking at it. The ACC, you know, they've kind of delayed the start of some things. So we're at the point now where college football probably is not going to start on time. In fact, CBS reporter Barrett Salee, who comes on with us quite a bit, he joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, and he doesn't think college football season starts on time.
I think it's going to be delayed for now. You know, I don't think they can go full on cancellation because, you know, we don't know what October is going to be like, and it might be fine, you know? So I'm usually optimistic about this stuff. I have been, you know, throughout kind of this entire thing. But I think we're getting close enough to the season where, you know, there's going to have to be something set in stone, at least to begin with. There has to be some sort of plan. And I think the plan will be to delay it indefinitely, you know, and then adjust accordingly as, you know, more information comes available. You know, I don't necessarily think that's the right thing to do, because I think there's a lot of, you know, fear being published out there. And the fact that deaths have continued to go down, and yeah, they lag behind, but they don't lag behind that much, is an encouraging sign. Obviously the cases are not. But, you know, does that mean that we're on a track towards herd immunity? I don't know. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I do think that too many people focus on the negative when there are positive storylines out there. But because so many people focus on the negative, that I think that's enough to force college football to make a decision.
Barrett Salih from CBS Sports on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. If you missed it, you can check it out at thegamenashville.com. So we kind of alluded to this yesterday, Marquise, when we did our SEC conference-only schedules. I mean, this was something that we discussed that could happen. And then credit to Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic. She actually joined Jared and Joe Rexroad yesterday afternoon. But she was the one that broke this story. I know ESPN was saying it was them and somebody else, but it was Nicole Auerbach that broke the story from The Athletic that the Big Ten Conference was going with a conference-only schedule. So what do you think this means? Or is it – I think everybody's just going to follow suit at some point.
Yeah, so I'm going to also focus on the positives of this because I know a lot of people are just freaking out and, you know, everybody's running through a wall like, oh, my God, we're not going to get college football. Oh. So I'm going to be positive about this. So for one, I saw a report from Pat Forty and also Ross Dellinger, a dual report, that the SEC will meet on Monday to decide whether or not what they do with their fall sports. So we could find out in conference, you know, within the SEC that, you know, what they're going to do with their fall sports. To me, I look at this as a positive because, yeah, you're going to, you know, yeah, we're going to miss out on a lot of games. There's a lot of good games, you know, that we were going to miss out on from, you know, Ohio State and Oregon to Michigan and Washington, you know, Wisconsin and Notre Dame, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Cincinnati, Nebraska. A lot of games that we're going to be missing out on. But when you get in conference play, one or two things are going to happen. Either they're going to stay at nine games, which they are now, because when you look at all the other Power 5 conferences, with the exception of the SEC, all of them have three non-conference games. So you're basically taking out three games from everybody's schedule from the Power 5, except for the SEC, who has four. So you're removing those games. Now, either A, they're going to stay at nine games, and that'd be perfectly fine, or they make it an even 10 and add another conference game. So just imagine that if they add Michigan versus Wisconsin or Minnesota versus Penn State or Ohio State versus Minnesota, and that be their 10th game, that you're getting better quality football. And when you look at the SEC, you know, obviously they have four non-conference games, so they're going to have to add, you know, a couple more games. So you're getting more quality SEC matchups, possibly, like the games we mentioned yesterday, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and Auburn. And so, and also when you look at Notre Dame, you see them possibly moving to the ACC because if you're going to play only non-conference games.
That's my next question is, what about Notre Dame?
Yeah, so if you're basically going to put Notre Dame in this only conference thing, so you take out the Pac-12 because two of their games are Pac-12 games, USC and Stanford. So you take out those games. Then they have like another cupcake game, and then maybe they have the game against Navy, maybe not. But then you move them to the ACC because the majority of their schedule is ACC schedule. They play, you know, I think they play Duke. I know they play Clemson. So most, like maybe five or six games on their schedule are already ACC games. So it just makes sense to just move them to the ACC. So that's what you do in Notre Dame. So I know everybody's freaking out because, oh, they're only going to conference-only games, but we mentioned it yesterday. I'm pretty sure they're trying to restrict as much traveling as possible amongst their teams, so just play conference games. And guess what? We're going to really determine who's the real champion because you're going to be playing tough games within your conference. Now, I don't want to see Alabama like, okay, fine, we got to add another SEC game. Hey, Vandy, what you doing this week? You know, what you doing? You free this week? You want to meet up? You want to link up in Nashville and us, you know, beat you 59-0 and then we move on, you know, schedule as usual? No, like let's add some good quality games. Let's add some Florida, some Auburn, some, you know, some real tough games, some Minnesotas in the Big Ten. I think this is good. I like it. I'm excited for it because we're actually going to determine who's the best in your conference. You played majority of your conference. Now you can prove that you're the best in your conference. And then maybe we do a tournament style, you know, between all the Power 5 schools, you know, for the playoffs. So I like it. It's cool to me as long as I get college football in September, which I don't know if that's going to happen in September or not.
Yeah. So I'll be positive too. I think for 1 year, this is awesome. Like, I love it. I love having a conference only schedule. I know the Big Ten's the only one that's really made it official, but everybody else is going to have to do it too. I agree with you on Notre Dame. They basically just need to join the ACC. And as the ACC goes through their scheduling, they just say, hey, this is what's going to happen. You have to add. So they play 9 conference games right now. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody just adds Notre Dame. That's all you do. That's just, I mean, to get their 10 games, you just have to, and then you can move some other teams to fill out the rest of the schedule. But you basically find 10 teams and say, and whoever, I know that Notre Dame plays, you know, some ACC opponents already. So to fill out the rest, you just do it that way. Like, hey, your opponent is going to be Notre Dame. Boom, done. So you take care of it that way. With the rest, this will get the SEC to 9 conference games moving forward,
which we've been calling for,
which is what they've needed to do for a long time. So they need to go ahead and do that, because that's what we want. Let's just limit these stupid little cupcake games that everybody wants to schedule. Now, I do like the Alabama taking on a USC, or an Alabama, you know, taking on a Michigan or whatever. Okay, keep doing that, but let's go ahead and just make it 9 conference games for the SEC and be done with it. So if you play 10 this year, you know, we went through our schedules yesterday and we did 12. So we did it that way. But here's another thing to think about. So we don't know exactly when the season is going to start. So if you're the schedule makers for each conference, then go ahead and fill the schedule out like it's going to be a full season. And then basically say, okay, if such week 1 doesn't happen, you won't play that game. If week 2 doesn't happen, you won't play that game. And just, you're basically slicing games off the schedule as you delay the season. But go ahead and make one. Go ahead and have it ready. So, you know, so you don't have to get ready. You know, be ready so you don't have to get ready. That's what they need to do. And then I think it's fine. For a year, it's fine. And, you know, we won't play the clip because it's a long one, and I know we got to get to the break. But, you know, Barrett Salee, I asked him yesterday, I mean, is this opening Pandora's box on adding more conference games? And he pretty much agreed with me and used the phrase, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, once you do this, you're going to have more conference games.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a conference-only schedule moving forward. You still need to have cross-pollination, as they say. And I understand that it's important for Group of 5 teams and the smaller teams to schedule these games with the Power 5 schools because it's money. I get that. Like MTSU, for instance, you know, they were supposed to play Duke this year. I mean, that's lost money for them. So I understand the ramifications of that. But give us more conference games. I want that. I live for that. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not freaking out yet. You know, do I think they're going to start on time? No. And am I worried about them starting and not finishing? Yes. But we, as they say, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, I'm worried about that with every single sport, with the NBA, with NHL, with baseball. I'm worried about that with every sport.
Our damn soccer team couldn't even play a game.
Exactly. Like, all of a sudden, we get all this excitement that, you know, we're finally going to get soccer, back, and all of a sudden, the team that we root for here gets kicked out. So it's just, or withdrawals, whatever words you want to use. But I think this, like, I'm going to use Alabama for example. The biggest knock on Alabama every single year is their non-conference schedule and how weak it is. Now, they try to make it a little bit better when they played against Florida State, and, you know, they had DeAndre Francois and he got hurt, and so that game was obviously in the back burner because Florida State ended up being awful that year. And the big knock on them is they pick these non-conference games that are weak. And they play the Kent States and Tennessee Martins and all that. And they have 4 non-conference games as the other conferences look back like, hey, yeah, we lost one game. But, dude, we played 3 non-conference games and we won those. So, like, you know, SEC, they have 4. That's not fair. So, you know, I know there's going to be the Alabamas. I know Alabama especially are going to complain about having to play more conference games. Or I know that's going to be a big knock on this. But look, you're going to get better quality games. And that's all that matters. I don't want to see Alabama try to pick on Vandy or pick on South Carolina as their opponent. No. We're going to give you whatever's open. So if Florida's open the week that we need an SEC matchup, guess what? You're going to play Florida. If whoever, it doesn't matter. If Missouri's open, whoever. And same thing, vice versa. I know Tennessee fans is not going to like that, especially knowing that, you know, they're going to have to play an SEC West team, which is probably going to be tough because the SEC West is loaded. So, yeah, you're going to get maybe an Auburn thrown on your schedule. And yeah, that's going to suck. But guess what? It's going to be a better quality game. You win that game, that makes your resume look a whole lot better than Kent State or Tennessee Martin. Or Georgia State, for that sure. matter. So that's what you have to look at as a fan. Yeah, you're going to get shifted because you're going to get a tougher opponent. But guess what? You're going to get a better game, and you're going to have a better resume when all this is said and done. And then when the playoffs come around, people don't have to argue whether or not your schedule was tough or not, because guess what? It'll be written right there. So I like it. I'm excited for this, and I've been wanting them to do this for the longest time, and I'm glad that it's sad that it took a pandemic for it to actually happen, but I'm glad it's happening.
Whew. I feel better.
You do. See, look, we usually start this show on a negative note.
No.
Usually, and I know probably people are just going to be complaining about this. Oh, college football, it's going to be done. Why are they even doing this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm glad that we're this is a positive Friday. You know, woosah. Woosa. This is like yoga for us. And this is amazing.
When we come back, we will talk about something negative. Unfortunately, Nashville SC coming home. But we will hit on that. Plus, Coach Vrabel in Tahoe right now. We'll discuss. Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's good CDC updates and ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. Welcome back into the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe at the home studio, Marquise Munson at his home studio, better known as the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. So we did have the unfortunate news that we kind of knew was coming, that Nashville SC, they were withdrawn from the tournament. They did not withdraw. They were withdrawn from the tournament in Orlando. They're going to be sent home. Obviously, a process is underway to make sure they get back safely in their health. That's what, you know, everybody is concerned about, that they want to make sure everybody's good. And then once that happens, they will get ready to hopefully resume the rest of the regular season whenever that comes. So it is unfortunate because we were looking forward to talking about them, to watching them, to airing their games. But 9 positive tests ends up sending them home. Ian Ayre, the CEO of the team, did a press conference via Zoom yesterday, and he was asked if, you know, what preventions could have taken place, if any, if there's anything that they can learn from this situation.
If you read a lot of the stuff, you know, around staying safe in this current situation globally, it says, you know, that wearing a mask is a way to help prevent the spread. But it doesn't say it's going to stop it. And I think that's what we're beginning to recognize, that, you know, our players and our staff and our club have been, you know, wearing masks, getting tested every few days, getting screened in and out of facilities, and yet we still had people catch it, and we still had people catch it in other walks of life from the same process. So I think the learning is that you can't be too complacent about, you know, the virility of this virus. And, you know, that doesn't suggest that we didn't do what we should do. It just suggests that it's a very potent disease that, you know, we have to do the best we can. And I genuinely feel we did the best we can, that the rules were the same for everybody and the systems were the same for everybody. And as I said, you know, we had a whole team of people tested in the days leading up to going. And then we get to Orlando and we have, you know, a couple test positive, and then it's spread. And who knows where that happened and whether we'll ever get to the bottom of that. But it isn't through a lack of effort or trying to control it. I think it's just the virility and the difficulty of this virus. But we're seeing that everywhere, not just here.
Ian Ayre, the CEO of Nashville SC, on things that they can learn from this. And again, it is it's an unfortunate situation, not only, I mean, just in general, because you don't want your team kicked out of a tournament, and you obviously want them to be safe. But with them being an expansion team, they've played 2 games in their history. They're trying to build a product, build a fan base, and now, unfortunately, they're going to have to wait a little bit longer to do that. the MLS is back tournament is underway. I mean, they have played games. There are going to be more games played today. And unfortunately, Nashville is not going to be a part of it. So it is it sucks, but it's hopefully something that they can get better from and then be ready to go if the regular season and hopefully when the regular season gets underway.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, like it's even with all the protocols that they followed, wearing a mask and all these things that, you know, we're supposed to do, they still caught it. So, you know, this is why we got to take, you know, everything serious about this virus. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we learn from this that, you know, yeah, they took all the procedures that they're supposed to do and yet they still caught it. So they, you know, we just got to still be safe out here, you know, wear your mask, you know, wash your hands and then all that stuff that we talk about doing to avoid this. So, you know, it like and it sucks for them because, you know, I was watching a game yesterday during the show and just, you know, thinking like, man, Nashville SC is not going to be able to do this and not going to be able to play. So, and it sucks for them as an expansion team, you know, especially with, you know, that national notoriety that they would have gotten from playing in this tournament. So, you know, it definitely sucks, but hopefully, you know, when they get if they get some negative tests, they can get back at it. Cause we've seen it happen before. We've seen it with Jimmy Johnson. We've seen it with other athletes. We've even seen it with some athletes in the NBA with Jokic possibly coming back with the Nuggets, you know, and traveling back after he, tested for COVID. So, you know, it's tough, but hopefully they can get some negative tests and get back on the field.
So, again, we will monitor that situation as they return to Nashville. Something else that's going on this weekend, the American Century Championship in Tahoe, which is a celebrity golf tournament. I mean, Doug Flutie's in it.
Charles Barkley's there.
Charles Barkley, Chauncey Billups, Eddie George, and, of course, Mike Vrabel, the head coach.
Charles Barkley had a bold prediction yesterday on TNT.
He?
Yeah. He said he will not – he said he is never – ever going to finish last in a golf tournament ever again. And he said, mark my words, I will never finish last. So,
I don't know about that.
So we'll see. He said that easy, and it's on record.
Steph Curry's playing in this?
Yeah, Steph Curry's good. He's really good.
Steph Curry's playing in this, so, you know.
Vrabel's got some
but
competition.
Mike Vrabel is, yeah, I wonder if Glavin, so Maddox and Smoltz are in this. I wonder if Tom Glavin's in this, too. I don't see his name, but that's interesting. But anyway, Mike Vrabel is in this, and I know I listened a little yesterday, and I heard Jared. I know Jared's not happy that he's playing in this tournament, and that's fine. He can feel whatever way he wants to feel. I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. I don't think it's a big deal that he's going and playing in this. If he's being safe, I mean, you have a ton of celebrities that are in this and playing together. They know that there are safety protocols that have to be followed, and they're doing that. And so I really don't have any concern, because it goes back to, yes, we have to live differently and we have to wear our mask and be safe, but you also have to live. And so I don't really look at it as a bad thing.
I don't either.
That he's a part of this and he has been a part of this. And so I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's not. He's golfing.
That's just how I feel.
He's golfing. Like, it's not like he's on a boat, like, drinking with friends. Like, he's just golfing. You know, that's all he's doing. It's not like he's doing some Rudy Gobert stuff and just touching everybody's equipment after coughing. Like, he's not. I'm pretty sure he's taking all the right protocols to be, you know, safe there. And it's just, look, I'm not going to overreact to Mike Vrabel going to Lake Tahoe. Like, I'm not going to do it because it's not, to me, it's not a big deal. I'm going to a lake house, you know, this weekend. And trust me, I'm taking all the safety precautions. I told the lady that we're going to visit my family first before going to that lake house around other people because of this situation. And I'm going to still be wearing my mask when I go visit my folks. So even with me doing what I want to do that weekend, I still take precaution to everybody else. And I don't want to go to a lake house and hang out with all these people and then all of a sudden go visit my family. So I'm doing the reverse of that, visiting my family first with a mask on and then going to this lake house. So with a mask. So it's just, I'm not going to overreact to somebody living their life. Like, because guess what? Everybody does it, including the person who called him out for doing it. So I'm not going to call Mike Vrabel out for hanging out in Lake Tahoe. Because guess what? We all hang out with other people. It's not like we've been cooped up all the time. Like, there's been people out and about. I see it. There's people out in their cars. Right now, I'm looking at it. So it's just, I'm not going to overreact. I'm pretty sure he's going to be safe out there, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Mike Vrabel did go on NFL Network and answered a lot of questions when it came to Jadeveon Clowney and what happens if he signs with the Titans, getting Derrick Henry locked up to a long-term deal. But he was also asked what questions he needs figured out sooner or later in order to have the best training camp possible.
Well, Tom, first, let me tell you that there's nothing more important than the health and safety of our players and their family. Like, that's the most important thing in my mind. And as we move forward, it's about staying flexible and being able to adapt and adjust. You know, we talk about all the time that we can't eliminate distractions. It's how we handle them. And I think that we have to be ready to be flexible, whether that's we start on the 23rd and the 28th, or we start at another date. But whatever those rules are going to be, we're going to follow them, and we're going to do everything that we can to make our players as safe and as healthy as we possibly can.
Mike Vrabel on the NFL Network. And I know that this is a unique offseason, and year three is usually very important for a head coach. Yes, last year they went to the AFC Championship, but they were 9-7 in the regular season. You obviously want to improve upon that. Their goal now is to win a division, to host playoff games, to go even further than the AFC Championship game, to obviously win a Super Bowl. And with his team and most of the key players returning, you know, that's a good thing. But they're also losing a lot of leadership. They're losing good players. I mean, Logan Ryan is going to be tough to replace. He was very important to that defense and that team last year. So there are some kinks that they need to work out that hopefully they'll be able to do in training camp. But we really just don't know how much they're really going to be able to work on this stuff in training camp whenever training camp gets underway. So I can understand that this is a unique offseason and a little bit of concern from the head coach.
Yeah, and also you don't have a defensive coordinator. You don't have Dean Pease anymore. So then that also plays a big factor in this as well, because he played a big factor in that, you know, playoff run that they had, with the exception of the final game that, you know, they played against the $500 million man in Patrick Mahomes. But that's going to be – he's going to have a tough obstacle, because he has to set the bar from where he set it at the end of last season, which was a playoff run. And obviously, when you look at the landscape of the division, a lot of people are looking at it as, you know, you should possibly – this division is probably more wide open for you than it's ever been. You know, there's no Andrew Luck in the Colts. You know, yeah, you know – Deshaun Watson is still with the Texans, and a healthy J.J. Watt possibly. But guess what? They don't have their key weapon in Hopkins. And Jacksonville is Jacksonville. So we can just push them aside. This is the most wide open this division's been. So obviously the preparation for this season is going to be important, because a lot of people are going to expect you to win this division because of how wide open it is. Because you signed Ryan Tannehill to that contract. You know, because you may possibly get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. And if they do get him, the expectations are probably going to increase. And you know, what Derrick Henry did last year, what A.J. Brown did last year, and all those expectations are going to have to be met in front of the fans in order for them to believe that this team is actually a playoff team. So, and when you don't have training camp like a normal training camp like you would around this time, that's difficult to do. So, you know, this is going to be a tough training camp. But, you know, and I'm going to take words from Austin Rivers. And you know what he said, I think any champion that's going to be crowned this year is going to, they don't deserve an asterisk. They deserve a you know, more than that, because, you know, they had to go through all these circumstances to prepare for a season that had a lot of uncertainty with it. So, you know, it's going to be tough, but I think the Titans can pull it off because, like I said, the division's wide open for them.
Yep, completely agree with that. When we come back here on the Rundown, we're going inside the bubble. We're going to have a little fun the rest of the way. Five teams from the NBA, five teams from the NHL in the return to play scenarios that aren't the favorites that we're going to pay very close attention to. I'll take the NHL. Marquise will take the NBA. We'll do that when we come back on the Rundown. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game, or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Let us in. Welcome back in to the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, hanging out with you and a little fiend bringing us back here on a Friday. So we're going inside the bubble. And coming up at 9:45, and I want listener participation on this. So you can text 615-737-1025 to our text line. If you were to go into the bubble, what would you take with you? And who would you hang out with once you were inside said bubble? Either the NHL, if you're more of an NHL fan, or the NBA, if you're more of an NBA fan. I'm going to take the NHL side on this, but I do have a couple of NBA. There's a couple of NBA answers that I would give. So we're going to do that at 9:45, 615-737-1025. But right now, five teams from each league that aren't the favorites, but we think under this format could make a little noise. That's the exercise that we're going with here. I'll start with you, Marquise. I know you're taking the NBA. What are five teams that people need to pay attention to once they get underway?
Yeah, so I'll go quickly with this. My number one team that I think, look, they have a potential chance to win the whole thing, and that's the Boston Celtics. I think with Jason Tatum, you know, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, they just, Enes Kanter, a lot of talent on that team. You know, I think the Boston Celtics can definitely make some noise in this playoff. So if you want to put some money down, put some money down on the Boston Celtics. Also, number two, I will go with the Houston Rockets. I know they're a shooting team that don't play any defense and all these that mumbo-jumbo that people talk about when they surround the Houston Rockets with playoff performances. And obviously, James Harden has not played well in a playoff format. But I think, you know, with him and Westbrook fully healthy, you know, I think this can – I look at talent. I look at – if a team has a lot of talent on their team, then I'm probably going to end up going with them. So I'm going to go with the Rockets at two. Three, I will go – now, this team struggled, you know, in the season a little bit towards the back end, but – and they're the number six team in the East, and I'm going to go with the 76ers. You know, Ben Simmons wasn't healthy, you know, going into the All-Star break. You know, Joel Embiid also was not healthy, you know, going into this. But both fully healthy now, both traveled to Orlando. I think with both of those guys fully healthy, if Joel Embiid can play elite Joel Embiid numbers, I think this 76ers team can make a good run. Especially Tobias Harris is going to have to live up to his contract. He's going to have to prove that he's an All-Star. So he's going to be another guy that's going to have to step up for him as well. So I can see them possibly getting to a conference finals if they can, you know, get over that hump, you know, with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. My number four team, I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks because I like Luka Doncic. I think he's probably going to be one of the best players in the league in a couple years or so. And probably up for MVP this year, but probably not going to win it because Giannis just had a monster season. So I'm going to go with the
Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis. It's Giannis's league, and we're just living in it. And so I think Luka Doncic and Porzingis and the rest of those guys can get the job done. And then my last and my final team, the team that's not a favorite, I am going to go with the Portland Trail Blazers, who is not in the playoff hunt right now. They're a 9 seed, but I'm telling you guys, playoff Damian Lillard is nothing to be played with. Playoff Damian Lillard is probably the best Damian Lillard. He plays like a superstar when it comes to playoff performances. Yeah, I know they got beat by the Warriors pretty bad in that conference finals, but if you look at before that, Damian Lillard, when he's on top of his game, he is one of the best players in the league. And with Nurkic being healthy, CJ McCollum, if he can step up to that all-star level that he can live up to, Hassan Whiteside this year, even if Nurkic doesn't play, they got Hassan Whiteside to play some defense, I think the Portland Trailblazers, look, they're the most dangerous 8 seed I think there's been in the NBA playoffs if they get that 8 seed. So those are going to be my teams, those five teams that can make some noise in the bubble.
Okay, I like it. All right, now I will take the NHL. And in this exercise, I took teams out of the play-in games because I consider the top – well, number one, I liked those teams for this exercise a little bit better. That maybe the fourth team that, you know, won't be in the play-in round from each conference. So I took that route with this. And I know that some of these teams, they could play each other, but these are just five teams that I believe could make some noise inside the bubble. I'll start with the New York Islanders, and I know that the New York Islanders, they were you know, they had a pretty good season, but they were kind of fading off, 80 points at the stoppage. They'll take on the Florida Panthers in the play-in round. I have to look to experience with their head coach, Barry Trotz. He's a Stanley Cup winning coach. The coaching staff has been with him for a while, and they have basically, since he got to the island, they have overachieved, and I believe that they can continue that, especially after a break. I also don't really apply momentum or anything. You know, if a team was in a slump or a team had momentum at the break, I don't really think you can look at that because they've been off for 4 months or more. So I have the Islanders as a team that I think can make some noise. This one could be the one that everybody is going to pay attention to, because this team was so beat up at the break that it was just put, you know, they're done. Put a fork in them, they're done. But now they've had a time to heal up, the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think Columbus could be in a situation where now that they're healthy, I mean, they're the 8-9 matchup. They're the 9 seed. They play Toronto. They're going to be in Toronto as a hub city. But both teams have 81 points. Like I said, Columbus was beat up when they stopped play. I know Toronto's good, but Toronto's also that team that they can't live up to what they're supposed to be. I think Columbus can sneak up on them and get them in this play-in round and then make some noise once they actually get into the playoffs. And I believe a lot of people are going to be paying attention to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Also, out of the East, I'll go with the Pittsburgh Penguins, based strictly on experience. That's an experienced team. They have solid goaltending. Obviously, with the experience they have with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, those guys, they're former Stanley Cup champions, 86 points on the season. They're playing Montreal in the play-in round. And, yes, I know if Carey Price gets hot, he could probably steal you a series in a best-of-five. I just don't like the matchup for them against Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh is a team that I would pay attention to. The Vancouver Canucks, while I don't think they're cup ready quite yet, I think that's going to be a team that you have to reckon with here in the next few years. They play the 10 seed Minnesota in the play-in round, 78 points on the regular season. I like Vancouver. I think they're a young team, but they're starting to gain some experience. They're starting to get some confidence, because I do, while momentum may not carry over, I think confidence does. And so I think Vancouver is a team that you could potentially pay attention to. And then I have to go with the hometown Nashville Predators. And I think this break did them good. We've talked about three players in particular with this team that will have benefited from this break. The first being Ryan Johansson. Ryan Johansson did not have a Ryan Johansson-like season when it comes to being a playmaker. Yes, his goal totals were about the same that they have been, but the assists were way down, and he was just not setting up his teammates like he usually does. Victor Arvidsson is the other one. He hasn't been the same since the injury from Bortuzzo earlier in the season. Hopefully this break, this time to reflect, has been good for him. And I think you're going to need Pekka to win you a Stanley Cup. UC Saros has played awesome this year. They're going to rely on both goaltenders, but I think you have to also lean on the experience of Pekka to get this done for the Nashville Predators. So those are my five in no particular order. I save Nashville for last, but that's what I have with those teams that could make some noise in the playoffs with the NHL.
I like it. I like it. Let's go. Let's get this started, man. Let's get it started.
I'm so tired. I am so tired of talking about what ifs and if they're going to play. I'm just ready. I'm ready to see these games played.
I can't wait, because we're already getting some wild bubble action in the NBA.
And wild bubble action.
This is going to be amazing. Well, according to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, the NBA hates when you call it a bubble. They prefer you to use.
They called it the bubble.
They prefer you to use the word campus, not bubble. According to Chris Haynes yesterday on Inside on NBA on TNT, he said they prefer it to be called the campus, not the bubble. So we got to call it campus.
What did LeBron call it? Because whatever LeBron called it, that's what I'm going to call it.
We're going to call it a bubble. I'm still going to call it a bubble. I don't
care. LeBron says it's a bubble. It's a bubble.
It's a bubble. He ain't even there yet, but it's still a bubble.
That's how I feel about it. When we come back, and we want your participation, 615-737-1025. What would you take with you inside the bubble or on the campus or whatever, if it's the NHL or the NBA? What would you take with you, and who would you want to hang out with during your time there? We will discuss that when we come back on The Rundown. Chase and Marquise, ESPN 102.5 The Game. In support of the Bellevue Community Food Bank, which is located at Bellevue United Methodist Church, the Nashville Predators will collect food donations at Ford Ice Center Bellevue next Monday through Friday. Ford Ice Center Bellevue is located at 7638B Highway 70 South and is open 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Baskets will be located at the entrance to drop off the donation. Most needed items include canned fruits, soups and meats, dried pasta, cereals, baking supplies, toiletries, gift cards, cleaning and laundry supplies. So please help out with that on my side of town in Bellevue. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson. So we're asking the question, if you got to go in the bubble, whether it's the NHL or the NBA, so either the Phase 4 secure zone or the NBA campus, what would you take with you? And who would you want to hang out with? You can text us, 615-737-1025. Marquise, lead us off, because I know you're going to the campus. You're going to the NBA campus.
Yes, I'm going to Orlando. Now, look, there's been a lot going on in Orlando. First of all, P.J. Tucker took 60 pairs of shoes there. I don't know why. I don't know why. Damn. I don't know why you need 60 pairs of shoes, but, you know, whatever. But that's his thing. He's a sneakerhead. So there's one player that brought a monitor, which the monitor is for gaming. So they're going to pretty much game all the time. And there's, of course, you know, the food there has been awful, according to a lot of players who's complained about the food. Rondo complained about the hotels, which the Lakers stay in the best hotel.
I saw his tweet. And he's like, Motel 6? I'm like, dude, you never stayed in a Motel 6.
Have you ever seen a Motel 6 before?
Hey, in Motel 6, I got nothing against a Motel 6. I like Motel 6. But, like, come on, man. Like, you're really going to complain? You're in a nice hotel.
He's in the best.
They're in a five-star.
He is in the
whatever.
Best hotel on this campus. So if you stay there, just imagine what, like, you know, the Spurs stay in. Because there's one player that took a picture of a cockroach, like a dead cockroach in his room. And I can't remember who the player was, but I'm pretty sure he was on a bad team. So I'm like, yeah, that's why you got that dead cockroach in your room, because you got a bad team. But look, all I need in the bubble, all I need is my PlayStation, because my PlayStation got everything. My PlayStation got YouTube TV, so I can watch my wrestling. I can watch my WWE Network, you know, watch my Monday Night Raw. Yeah, I can watch all that stuff on my PlayStation. And I can also play a little 2K whenever I feel like it. Also would have to bring a cooler, because I need a little bit of a adult beverage, a little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I need a little bit of the bubbly while I'm in this bubble. The bubble bubbly is what I like to call it. So I need a little bit of that, so I have to bring a cooler with me as well. I don't need, you know, 60 pairs of shoes, because usually if I go out, if I travel, I wear the shoes that I'm probably going to wear all weekend, just to stay safe, you know, to keep my bag secure of other things like I need. So, and of course a bag of cheese popcorn, because I love some cheese popcorn, love some snacks, and I know they don't have no snacks at this bubble or a campus, whatever you want to call it. And then the one player that I'm going to hang out with has already been having the time of his life. He is a Vic Fangio of the NBA, J.R. Smith, having the time of his life.
Dude, so my NBA answer was J.R. Smith. I want to hang out with J.R. Smith.
Easily. Like, he did a Instagram Live yesterday, and all his teammates were in the hallway. Well, they're at their doors of their prospective hotel rooms, and he's just got a big smile on his face. He just got his food. Everybody's been complaining about the food. He finally got his. He's like, man, I'm getting ready to grub on this. They got me vegan and everything. I like this. And he's just having the time of his life. He does not care about how bad the food is. He don't care if Rondo thinks this is a Motel 6. He don't care. If Rondo ain't going to eat his plate, guess what? J.R. Smith will eat your plate. Because
he's like, I'm just happy to be here.
I'm just happy to be here. He's Vic Fangio of the NBA. I love it. Shout out to J.R. Smith, man. This is why Lakers are winning in 5. Easy. Because of J.R. Smith and his energy. Because when you have positive energy off the court, you bring that on the court. And so he's going to be balling out because he's going to be positive. He's not complaining about the food like everybody else is. And he's not worried about the hotel he's staying in. He's just chilling, straight chilling. J.R. Smith, shout out to you, man. You're the real MVP.
I like it. That's a good one. All right, so what I'm taking with me to the Phase 4 secure zone of the National Hockey League, I'm going to go to Edmonton because, you know, Western Conference, got to stick with the Western Conference. So I'm going to go to Edmonton, and I got to have the game stuff. I'm actually going to take my full racing setup for iRacing, so my desktop and a couple of monitors, my steering wheel. Got to have my iRacing with me. Well, because there'll be a lot of downtime that I can get on the track, the virtual track. So I got to take that. I thought about taking the Xbox, but I'm sure somebody else will have one because we'll get some gaming going. You know, we'll play some Madden or some NHL or 2K or whatever. So I'd probably carry that with me. I gotta have that. For food, you know, snacks. I'm a 6-year-old, so I have to have my big box of Goldfish. You have your cheese popcorn. I have my Goldfish. So that's what I like to snack on. I too would take a cooler, and it would be stocked with some ice cold Bud Light. So I would have that. And, you know, we're whiskey guys, so have to take some Jack with me as well, you know, to sip on whenever there's a little bit of downtime. And of course, Marquise, you know that I cannot go to the bubble without the axe.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta take the axe.
Oh, yeah.
And the amp. Gotta take it all. And play for those NHL players. You know, we'll just serenade, write some songs. Now, the player that I would hang out with, yes, I'm going to give a homer answer just because I know it would be fun. Ryan Johansson and I are going to be kicking it the whole time. I mean, Joey knows how to have a good time in a bubble, in a secure zone, whatever. I mean, he'd be who I'm hanging out with because I'm sure he'd be right there gaming and maybe playing some guitar. I can teach him if he doesn't know how, even though I think he might play. So that'd be fun. I'd kick it with Johansson.
Man, I can see you. I can picture this. Like, Chase McCabe coming off of the Nashville Predators bus with, like, a box of, like, Goldfish, his guitar, his iRacing steering wheel. He's just trying to hold all this stuff in one arm. And I can just see it right now. I can picture it. With your steering wheel in one hand, guitar in another hand, you got your bag of Goldfish in your mouth because you're trying to hold that, too. And then you got, like, a little cup of Starbucks because you've been drinking that on the bus. I can just picture it right now. It's awesome. Fantastic.
You
got
to drink the Starbucks to fit in with the hockey players because they always have their little – And it, I mean, it's swill too. I mean, it's like, how do you drink that stuff? I mean, it's strong, but I think it'd be fun. So, let's see. Greg texted in and says, I'm taking my PS4. I would hang with my Preds, but specifically Nick Bonino. He knows how to relax and he cooks. That's a very good point. Nick Bonino is quite the cook. So that would be the guy to chill with. So if you want to continue to text in 615-737-1025. That is going to do it for this week for the rundown here on 102.5 The Game. For Marquise Munson, I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great weekend, everybody. But stick around. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.